Welcome to Sunday with the Sky Family. We're glad you could join us on this joyful Easter morning. We join with our brothers and sisters through all the ages. The great cry, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ shall come again. Our great hope that our Lord not only rose from the dead, but will be coming shortly. And so we rejoice this day. We rejoice in the truth of what happened on this day that we commemorate. And we rejoice that Jesus no longer suffers on the cross, but has risen from the dead many years ago. Though he still suffers the afflictions of our rejection. And that is a pain certainly even more painful to him than the physical pain he endured, is when we turn away from him and we don't run to him. So let us comfort the heart of our Lord by running to him today and giving him the joy of our undivided attention and our great and our love for him. So we've got a very, very encouraging word today. I hope that everyone was really inspired by last week's message. You know, that's a very difficult message in that it's so contrary to our modern teaching and our modern thinking. And yet, that message about becoming a servant is so important. It's so important that unless we get that concept, we actually can't grow closer to the Lord. As we were just discussing in our worship time, you know, the Lord is the great, is our great servant king. And unless we take on his quality of being a humble servant, we actually can't approach him. We can't know him. We can't get close to him. And we can't understand him. And that's why that message, though it's so contrary, is so mandatory for us all. Because God has established that we would all serve one another. And that's what heaven is made of. That's the very essence of heaven, is that Christ serves the body serves him, and each one serves the other. You see, this is the very essence of heaven, is that each one in heaven serves the other. And that's the beauty of heaven. And so therefore, while we have thoughts that are full of self, self-fulfillment, self-esteem, the admiration of people, you see, that's as long as we have these things running through our mentality, we actually can't even approach the lifestyle and the reality of heaven, because it's utter selflessness. It's abandoning the self in service to others that is the very essence of heaven. So I hope that that message has inspired you. I know it has inspired us, and we have been thinking about it, talking about it ever since, how important it is. You know, it's mandatory for us all, men, women, all of us, to serve one another and to serve our Lord. So, but today's message is completely separate from that. I wanted to turn us over to chapter 20 of John, the Gospel of John. But let's pray for a minute first. Lord Jesus, we pray that you bless your word today. We pray that you would cause it to be food for our soul. We pray that you would feed our souls today. Lord God, as you instructed Peter three times, if he loved you, to feed your sheep. So, Lord, we pray that this day your sheep would be fed the pure word of God, that people will receive your word with great joy, and that each one would be nourished. Lord, your word is the bread of life. So I pray that you bless it today. Pray that you would speak and not anybody else, not me, not anyone, but just you. And that you would grant to us words of life today. Please bless each one that's tuned in today in the name of Jesus. Praise God. John chapter 20, starting at verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there and did not know that it was him. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. Mary had seen a great light. She had drunk the dregs of this world. She had experienced all of the distress that comes from living a life of sin. And because of her life of sin, she had this gnawing emptiness inside of her, which she couldn't get rid of it. It was so intense. And so it is with everyone who sins. You see, when we sin, the result of sin is emptiness, rather than it being fulfillment, as the devil tries to make it look like. Well, if you sin, how happy you will be. No, the truth of the matter is that Satan is a liar. And when you do something that is sinful, the result of sin is emptiness. And that's because God is the source of life and of all joy. And sin separates us from God. And so when we sin, we separate ourselves from the fountain of life. And the result of it is that we have a resounding and annoying emptiness inside of us. And that's why those who give themselves to sin are always so empty. They're so empty. And the more they sin, the emptier they are. And that's why we see these poor young people walking around who are just in a black hole. They're in a black hole of nothingness, of emptiness, because in their great abandonment to sin, they have been separated from all life. And so with us, as we sin, we know the result of it is just this horrible, horrible feeling. And so those who sin the most are the least satisfied and the most distressed. And so that's how Mary was. Mary had given herself over to the sins of the flesh, and the result was just this horrible emptiness inside of her soul. And in the midst of that emptiness and that desolation of soul, she met a man who comforted her, who spoke words of life to her, and who forgave her sins and taught her how to be reconciled to God. And for Mary, these words were utter life. They were so pierced the darkness of her soul that she was immediately drawn to follow after Jesus, because she received mercy and kindness from God himself through Jesus. And so she not only sat under his teaching, she sat at his feet. She actually knew, met, and touched the one who was all life. So we can only imagine the love that she had for him, real, true love. And so in that love, we can only imagine, because he had become her very breath, the very breath of her being, the very source of all of her joy. He had become everything to her. And so from that point of view, we can only imagine a small degree of the anguish and the horror that gripped her when she saw her beloved, the Master, arrested. And then when she saw him led out into the streets, having been beaten almost to death, we can't even imagine we can't even imagine her heart and her anguish. And when Jesus was nailed up on the cross, she would have died 1,000 deaths because she just loved him so much. And when he died, her life was extinguished. When Jesus died, her life was at an end. And that night was the blackest night in history. It was the never-ending night, where all light had gone out of the world. And the next day was even worse. The never-ending black Sabbath, where all she could do was sit and ponder and feel the weight of the reality that her beloved Master was no more. The reality of it would have crushed her. It would have crushed her. And that would have been absolutely the longest day of her life, as she just endured the agony of Jesus' death with no hope. And so the next morning, early in the morning, as early as she could possibly go, as she heads out to the tomb to take care of his body, when she arrives, she finds that his body is gone. And so she reacts with a fresh wave of utter despair. Reacted as she did to the angel's words, it's because she loved the Lord so much. And she was in such anguish of soul that she couldn't understand or believe or comprehend the events that were happening at that moment. She couldn't understand it because it was because of her love for the Lord. and her sorrow was so great. So that even when the Lord himself appeared to her in a different form, she still couldn't comprehend because of the condition of her heart. She was filled with such despair. So she couldn't understand until finally Jesus spoke sternly to her and said, "Mary." And then suddenly her eyes were open and she realized that Jesus was there. And she threw herself on the ground and grabbed hold of his legs. She was so utterly overcome. With the joy of seeing him again, she wouldn't let go of him. Jesus had to pry her away because she was so overcome with joy that he was alive. She had just grabbed his legs, was just laying there, holding on to him. Finally, I don't know how long it took, but I'm sure it was a little while because Jesus' great love and his compassion. I'm sure she was there for some time, and then finally he says, "Mary, let go. I have to be about my business now." And in that one instance, you see, in that one instant, when he said, "Mary," her deepest sorrow, her darkest, blackest anguish of heart in that one split second was turned to the greatest joy, greater joy than she could have ever imagined. In that one split second when he said, "Mary," she was brought out of the dungeon of despair into the bright glory of God in one second, when he spoke her name. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't that an amazing and a wonderful thing? But let me share the heart of that story, which is this. That nothing had changed. Nothing had changed. The moment he said "Mary" didn't change anything, because the facts were already the facts. The only thing that changed when he said "Mary" is that she understood the truth. You see, when she was in anguish, when she was in the darkness of coming to the tomb, Jesus had already risen from the dead. While she was on her way there in the greatest despair, Jesus was already gone. He had already risen. And the truth of the matter was this, that while she had sat through the horrible Sabbath, contemplating life without Jesus, Jesus was destroying the gates of hell. He had ripped the keys of hell and death away from the devil and destroyed the gates of hell. And when Mary was dying a thousand deaths while Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Lord was accomplishing the salvation of the world. And in the moment that he died, the moment, the worst moment of all, when it looked like Satan had entirely won and snuffed out all light on earth, in the very instant that Jesus died, the kingdom of the devil was utterly destroyed from under his feet, and death itself is the thing that died. And in that very moment, when Jesus died, the universe was reborn. Death was reversed, and all life began as a seed from that moment of his death. At that very instant, the seed of life was planted for the universe to be utterly made new and to be born again. So in her blackest hour, the opposite of what she thought was being accomplished. Isn't that an amazing thing? When things look so utterly hopeless, the truth was the opposite of what she thought and the opposite of what it looked like. Instead of it being the end of life, it was the beginning of life. Instead of it being the beginning of the devil's complete triumph, it was his utter defeat. The only thing that changed when Jesus said, "Mary," is that she understood the truth. She comprehended reality, because what Jesus did was reality. What he accomplished in his death was reality. And she understood reality. And in that comprehending, all despair flew away and was replaced by all joy. And so here it is with us. You see, Mary represented all of us. All of us who would have abandoned God to run after the pursuits of the flesh. That's who Mary was. She represented us all. Those who were fallen, who ran after our own desires and forsook God. And so she was the person who represented us all before God. And that's why God allowed her to be the first one there at the tomb, because it was representing us being reconciled to God. And so we, like Mary, we experience some awful disaster or setback or disappointment or loss in our life. And when that happens, it's as though Jesus has died in our life. We lose all hope. We lose all hope. And we enter this despair because God has let us down. We had something that we absolutely needed God to do and he didn't do it. Or we lost someone who was so precious to us, or that God didn't intervene when something needed to be done. And so in our hearts, Jesus has died to us. And now we're in this state of despair of trying to live life without him, without the Lord. Not that we consciously say that, but that's how we act, and that's how we react, and that's what our lifestyle is. It's a lifestyle of continual discouragement and despair because Jesus in our life has died to us and we have lost all hope because we sought the Lord earnestly for a season and then he let us down, or we in some way we were disappointed with the Lord, and so we now lost our hope and our faith and our courage and our joy. And so Jesus is in the tomb for us. And many, 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 many Christians are in that category. And many, almost all of them, live in the spirit of the tomb. See, Mary was living in the spirit of the tomb when in the reality, the spirit of the resurrection had already taken place. And so when Jesus said her name, Mary, she left the spirit of the tomb and entered the spirit of the resurrection. And so for us, we need also to be quickened and awakened to reality so that we're not living in the spirit of the tomb, but in the spirit of the resurrection. And how do we do that? It's by understanding the truth. The reality is that God has already reconciled you to the Father. He has paid the price in full and reconciled you to the Father. That's the truth. Jesus has already overcome the devil. That's the truth. God has already provided all things that are necessary for all spiritual prosperity for you. He has already provided it. He has already promised to take care of you physically as well as spiritually. He has already given great and wonderful promises, and these promises are the truth. And when we enter a spirit of despair, it's simply that we don't believe the truth. And so we enter the spirit of the tomb because we don't believe the truth. And if somebody comes by and gives us an encouraging word and says, oh, well, God is and all is well. God will take care of you. Well, we stand outside the tomb and we weep. We hear the words, but we don't believe them or comprehend them. And so, rather than it bringing forth victory, we just stand outside the tomb and weep. Until finally, the Lord comes by and He speaks our name. And suddenly we look up. Master, you're here. You're back. You love me. In that moment of the joy of seeing Him again, we are transformed and we leave the spirit of the tomb and we enter the spirit of the resurrection. And our great despair and our hopelessness becomes great joy and great hope in the pleasure of seeing Him again. And so I want to encourage us today to see the Lord. To see the Lord. To remember the truth. That all things pertaining to life and godliness have been purchased for you with your name on it. And go tell my brethren that's you and me, those who have believed in the word of their testimony that have come after the disciples. Go tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Did you know in the last prayer that Jesus prayed, John 17, Jesus says that as the Father has loved me, He has also loved you. Did you know that? You know, I was just blown away when I read that again. The Gospels are always new, aren't they? That God loves us. The Father loves us as He loves the Lord Himself. I know, it's incomprehensible. How could anybody love us? I know. But he does. Because he sees us not as we are, but he sees us as his children, perfected throughout eternity. He sees us as his dear friends, his dear children. And so, the Father loves you as he loves Jesus. When he looks at you, if you have repented and trusted in the Lord, he's looking at his son Jesus now. You're being filtered through the Lord himself. And the Father himself loves you. And so it is not necessary for us to go about in the spirit of the tomb anymore, or the spirit of despair, or of hopelessness. Whatever has happened to you, whatever distressing thing, whatever disappointment you've experienced, it's time to chuck it. It's time to pitch it. And it's time to enter into the spirit of the resurrection, which is that the Lord loves you. And he has provided everything pertaining to life and to godliness for you. And he has prepared a wonderful future for you and a beautiful place that is beyond description. Paul said there were things that the eye couldn't comprehend. We couldn't even understand the things which God has prepared for those that love him. And so your future is bright. Your future is bright. The devil's future is very dark. He's been relegated to the lake of fire forever. So whatever tormenting he's giving you, it'll be over very shortly. Forever. Forever. But you shall enter into the rest of God and enjoy God's presence forever, and his company and the company of your brothers and sisters. That's us. We get to enjoy each other's company forever. And I look forward to that. So be encouraged, my dear friends. Be encouraged this day. Not to stand outside the tomb weeping, but to say, Rabboni. Master. Master. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you do come to each of us. We praise you that you speak to us corporately, Lord God, but you visit us individually. And you love each one of us. You know our names and the number of hairs on our head. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would visit each one today who is listening. I pray you would visit each one. And speak their name softly and clearly, that each one would look up and say, Rabboni. Teacher, Master, you've come for me. I pray that a great spirit of hope and comfort would be upon all those that are listening today. A great spirit of hope, comfort, and joy. And that the spirit of the resurrection would be upon each one. That we would go forth overcoming. Overcoming. That we might be made pillars in the temple of our God. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you for doing this, O Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I pray that God will greatly bless you, speak to you, and touch your heart today. We look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.